you. And I thank you too, Lord, that even as I share the word, that as your word goes out, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. But again, in all of that, that you, Lord Jesus, will be exalted in this place. So, Father, I say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, cool. Isn't it good to be here? All those, because of the rain, that are snuggling up to their pillows and their duvets, they've missed out. Is that true? They've missed out big time. Folks, you know, we are in the process of going through a series on Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And like I said, you know, we will do one or two and then we'll have something else and then we'll continue with that letter. I shared on that last week, but this week I decided not to continue. We'll carry on with part four either next week or the week after. I'll just see how the week goes. But I'm going to be sharing on something this morning that I can't remember when I last shared on this, right? And it's a very important topic for people. And the title of this message is Relationships in the Home. There's a lot that is in the Word of God about fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, and so on. And I want to just go through some of the scriptures that we all have hopefully a better understanding of what our home should be like. And sometimes we are able to mess things up, and how are we able to mess things up? So, yeah, the title is Relationships in the Home, but folks, we need to know that to have authority, we need to first of all be under authority. Is that true? We need to be under authority. And it is the same principle that actually governs relationships generally, and especially relationships in the home. So when the husband is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the home, he has the authority of Christ. Is that true? And when the wife is under the authority of her husband, she has the husband's authority in the home as well. Now, this is a chain of authority, and if any one of these links are broken at any point, then the wheels start to come off. Things start to break down in the home. And this is unfortunately the problem in many, many homes today. So it's a breakdown of authority because one or maybe all of these links have opened up and have broken. So it's either the husband that is not kind of subject to Christ, and that is very common today. That, as a result of that, you'll see issues in the home. Or it could be the wife that is not subject to the husband. If that link is opened up and breaks, there's a problem in the home. Or maybe it's even both of those and others, all right? But the result is, folks, is disorder and a lack of harmony in our homes. That is the result. Now, there have been a lot of teachings about, listen to this, and I know this is going to kind of rock the boat, but we need to rock the boat, is that right? While we're in church. But there have been a great deal of teachings about the submission of women in the home. A lot of teaching. But the problem is there have been a lot of incorrect teachings that have come from the pulpit. And there have also been a lot of misinterpretations of these teachings by people sitting in the congregation as well. All right? So, as a result of this, many Christian women resent this teaching. And the reason why women resent this teaching, because it implies that women are inferior. And I've heard it taught like that, folks, when I've been sitting there and saying, you know what, this message should not go out like this because of the kind of slant on it. So this thing has to be addressed, and this needs to be, you know, sorted out. Because this results, you know, from this, okay, that there is a misunderstanding. When this message goes out incorrectly, there's a misunderstanding about the husband and wife relationship in the home. And, you know, Jesus said, listen to this, this is important. Jesus said three things about his relationship with the Father. Three things, and I'm going to give us those scriptures this morning. But what's so interesting, that all three of these things that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father, they all apply equally to the relationship between a wife and a husband. It's exactly the same thing. And let's have a look at them. The first thing that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father, he said in John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. And so there was complete unity between Jesus and the Father. Is that true? Okay? Being one with the Father, Jesus was also equal to the Father. Now, how do we know that? Because Philippians 2, verse 6, and I'll read it, it says, "Although he was in the form of God, an equal with God." Now, the thing is that in the home, and even in the Trinity, well, let's have a look at the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, God is one, but each one has, you know, different roles. Is that true? The Father has a different role to the Lord Jesus, and we'll have a look at some of those. And also to the Holy Spirit. And it is exactly the same in the home, where the husband and the wife are totally equal, but the husband and the wife have different roles in the home. And folks, this is the way that God has ordained it to be. This is the way he's made it. Right? And we can fight with him if you don't like it. But the problem is that if we don't like it, it's because of the way it has been communicated. So what we see in here, being one with the Father, Jesus was equal to the Father. In other words, therefore, he's God. Is that true? Is that true? Okay? But in the same manner, in the same way, a husband and a wife are one. As Jesus and the Father is one, the husband and the wife are one. And the Bible tells us that a husband and a wife are one flesh. One flesh. Now, this is what Jesus has to say about it. This is not even what Paul shared or anybody else shared. This is what Jesus himself said. And I'm reading from Matthew 19 now. And verse 5, it says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." Now, let me tell you that even that is a problem in many, many marriages today. Because the husband holds fast to his wife, but he's still hanging on to mommy's apron strings. Telling you. Jesus is very clear. What happens is that when the husband and the wife, you know, when they get married, there is then a different relationship between that man and his mom and his dad. The relationship changes. They're still his mom and dad, but he doesn't have to run to mommy, or every time there's a problem, you know, in the marriage, that Pete runs home to his mom and starts to complain about his wife. Or Sissy runs home to her folks. And, you know, not dealing with the issues. So that's the first thing that, well, it wasn't really what I wanted to say, but it's there. Okay. Let me read it again. I was talking about being one flesh. It says, "Therefore," Jesus speaking, "that a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then Jesus went on to say, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Now I have a question for us here this morning. All right? Can one part of the flesh be inferior to the other part? Can this flesh here on my wrist, is this inferior to the flesh on my cheek? I'm just asking. Of course, the answer to that is no. Because all flesh, in terms of this, are equal. That's what Jesus just said. So the submission of a wife to a husband is no way does this imply being inferior, as it is sometimes taught. Okay? And folks, this scripture is very, very clear what Jesus said to us right here. God considers the husband and the wife to be equal. Can I say that again? God considers the husband and the wife to be equal in the body of Christ. And the problem is that you and I have messed it up. We have misinterpreted. We have looked at the scriptures incorrectly. Or maybe even the scriptures, when that message has gone out, it has been put out incorrectly. God hasn't messed it up. All right? So folks, we must go out there and really just do things God's way. And when we're doing things God's way, His favor is going to rest on us. His blessings are going to be poured out upon us. Amen. The second thing that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father, and again, this is the same as the wife's relationship with the husband. This is what Jesus said in John 5:23. That all may honor the Son, Jesus said it, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Okay, is that there? Is it on the board? So the Father himself, God the Father, has honored the Son by placing the entire creation under the feet of his Son. How's that for honoring his Son? Imagine that. We see it in Ephesians 1:22. And he, God, put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. Isn't that amazing? You see the relationship between the Father and the Son? Okay. And we also see that the Father delights in the Son. The Father God, honors the Son. The Father honors the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2 verse 9, how's this for honoring your Son? It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Where? In heaven, every knee will bow. On earth, every knee will bow. And under the earth, every knee will bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch this. To the glory of God the Father. The Father gets glory in that. Okay? So God desires to lift Jesus up to a place of such high authority. And that brings glory to him. That brings glory to him. You never ever see, there's never a verse or a scripture in the whole of the Bible where the Father is somehow putting down the Son. Have you ever seen it? God the Father putting down his Son? It's not there. Or trying to go out there and take maybe some of the honor that is actually due to his Son. The point I'm making, one of the points I'm making, first of all, in the Godhead there is absolute unity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there is no jealousy. No jealousy in the Godhead. Amen? Nothing. And it is the Father's honor to go out there and to promote and to establish his Son. That's what, I've just read those scriptures to us. Isn't that incredible? But folks, the attitude of the husband to his wife should reflect exactly the same thing as the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way God's ordained it to be. Okay? So the husband should delight in that. The husband should honor. This husband should lift up his wife. And you know, he should do everything in his power to make his wife feel respected and honored and praised and esteemed. And I mean, we can add on a whole bunch of words over there. But God the Father will not tolerate any indignity that is given against the Lord Jesus Christ. Zero. The attitude, listen here, the attitude of the husband towards his wife should be exactly the same. Exactly the same. Folks, there should be absolutely no need for a wife in a home to now want to establish her position. You know, to establish this is who I am in this marriage and this relationship and so on. You know why she would? It's not necessary? Because the husband should be doing it for her. Doing it for her. And let me say, if we men constantly treat our wives in this way, I really believe that our wives will acknowledge our headship in the home in the way that God has ordained it to be. This is the way, whether we like it or not, this is the way God's ordained it, folks, to be. All right. And there would be no reason then to start to have, you know, kind of internal battles within the family for recognition and independence and, you know, all of those sort of things. In 1 Corinthians 11:7, it says, "But woman is the glory of men, of man." So the Father reveals His glory in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the husband reveals His glory in the person of his wife. You guys are amazing. You got it right. Yeah, you got it right. So let me say this. If a wife is restful, if the wife is secure and she's content, according to the Word, that will bring glory to her husband. Right? It will bring glory. It will show that the husband is actually treating the wife in the way that should be treated. She should be treated. Now, if the wife is bitter and she's bent out of shape and she's resentful and she's insecure, that doesn't bring honor. That doesn't bring honor to the husband at all. In actual fact, it is probably showing that he is failing in his responsibilities towards her, more than likely. You know, there was a well-known preacher, okay, who was once asked, this preacher was asked, if a certain man was a good Christian. They asked this well-known preacher, you know, is so-and-so a good Christian? And he answered, and his answer, when he said, "I don't know. I haven't met his wife yet. I don't know. I haven't met his wife yet. I will tell you after I've met her." Now, this brings us to the third facet of the Father-Jesus relationship. Folks, Jesus did not fight for recognition. Jesus didn't argue and fight for, you know, for authority, okay? He willingly submitted himself to the Father. Willingly. He allowed the Father to fill his rightful place as the head, in headship. And that was his rightful place. Jesus didn't ever argue that. And by remaining in submission to the Father, Jesus ensured that there was absolute unity in the Godhead between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And likewise, even though, folks, our wives are really one with the husband and therefore equal with the husband, we've just had a look at that, okay? God actually calls her, and this is scriptural, I'm just telling you, you know, if you can show me how what I'm saying is incorrect, please come and help me, all right? But God now calls her to submit herself to her husband, and this is for the sake of ensuring that there is absolute unity in the home. And this, let me say that this places a tremendous amount of responsibility on the wife, okay? Because this means that the man, you know, can't be the head of his home unless his wife yields to the authority that he has been given. And again, this is the way God has ordained it to be. But the man can never lead his home if his wife will not give in to that and submit to what the Word of God actually says. In other words, this is a voluntary submission for her now to make that decision to submit to her husband. But then the question comes up. I'm so pleased that you asked me this, and now I'm going to answer the question. Okay. So here's the question. What happens if one of the partners now fail in their God-ordained place in the home? That the wife is failing or the husband is failing, right? Does this now, if that is happening, if the wife says, well, I'm not going to do it God's way, I'm going to do it my way, does this now release the other partner from their responsibility? Think about it. Does it release the other partner? And the answer to that question is no, because the ultimate responsibility of each partner is not to the partner. The ultimate responsibility of each partner is to the Lord. That's how it is, okay? So if that's the case, then the conduct of the other partner can't change. You know, like I'm saying, if a husband doesn't love his wife the way he should be loving his wife, does this mean that the wife now can say, well, okay, well then I'm not taking on my responsibility? Folks, when we see it as unto the Lord and not as unto our partners, we start to get the right perspective of all of this. So the conduct of the other partner should not change. And I want to give you an example of this. It's a very good example. It's like in a traffic court, right? So the judge now is now questioning a man who is now charged with going over the speed limit. And the judge says to him, were you driving in excess of the speed limit? And the guy responds and he says, oh, you know what, eh? But there were so many other people traveling faster than me. The judge snapped back at him. He says, I'm not asking you about the other people. I'm asking you about your responsibility in the car that you were driving. Were you going over the speed limit? Don't worry about the other people. And of course, the guy reluctantly, you know, said, okay. You know, he admitted that he had gone over the speed limit. But folks, so it is between a husband and a wife, right? Because one day we must all appear before the judge, before that judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10 it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. What we've done. Don't worry about so-and-so and what they didn't do or what they did. What we have done or what he has done in the body, whether it is good or evil. So on that day, a husband will not be required to answer for his wife's conduct. And a wife will not be responsible to answer for her husband's conduct either, because each partner will answer directly to the Lord for the role that he or she played in the home. Is that true? Are we doing okay here? So our responsibility as parents now is that a father, first of all, needs to stand as the head of the home. All right? Now I'm talking about the relationship in the home, you know, with children and parents and so on. So the father needs to stand as the head of the household. And folks, this again is the way that God intended it to be. If the father, listen here, if the father does not provide the proper headship in the home, you will start to see things start to fall into disorder. If the father's not doing what he should be doing. And now there are actually three main offices. There's three things that have been delegated to the Father. And that, when I say delegated to the Father, this is by divine intervention. Or this is basically God speaking to fathers. What I'm saying right now. Okay? And there are these three things. And let me say this, as dads, as fathers, in our home, we should never abdicate on any one of these three things I'm going to speak about right now. So these are the three things from God. The first one, when it comes to the father in the home, he needs to be the priest, he needs to be the prophet, and he needs to be the king, or the leader. Let's call it the leader in that context. So as a priest in the home, he represents his family to God. The father represents his family to God. But then as a prophet, it's reversed. He represents God to his family. And then as a king, basically, he leads his family on behalf of God. On behalf of God. Let me just clarify that a little bit. So really, as a priest in the home, and I'm talking to dads here, the fathers are called to intercede for their family. They need to be praying for their family. They need to the father needs to be bringing the needs of the family to the Lord, all right? You know, trusting that the Lord is going to pour out his favor and his blessings, and that he'll be praying for protection, and he'll be praying for finances and all those things that a family needs. That is the responsibility of him as a priest. And of course, when doing this, a father needs to exercise faith, and he needs to be exercising obedience as well. But like now, as a prophet, this is reversed, right? So the father is to represent God now to his family. And folks, this is often where a problem starts. Because children form an impression of their heavenly father based on one source and one source only. Okay? Guess what that is? Their fathers. How they see their fathers. They hear about their heavenly father, and when you mention the word father, straight away they're thinking about their earthly fathers, and they've made a decision about their heavenly fathers. And really, this is one of the reasons why many youth want little to do with, or maybe absolutely nothing to do with God. Why? Because they have been exposed to a very, very poor example of a father in the home. All right? And then as a king, the last one, the father is required to lead his family. This is, again, the way God has put it into place. It's ordained by God. And it's quite interesting. So he leads his family, but he leads his family on God's behalf. And, you know, in describing the qualifications of a leader or a governor, okay, in the church, Paul, you know, when he spoke to Timothy, he says that he must be one that rules his own house well. We need to, as dads, we need to be ruling our house well. I'll read it. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 says, ruling his house well, having his children under control with all serious behavior. All right. And you go and look at that word rule. It basically, it actually means governmental authority. It's like in the church. All right. The elders are responsible for the governance of the church, not anybody else, you know, not the deacons or, you know, any other leaders. It's exactly the same in the home, right? But folks, let's face it. Let's be honest with ourselves now. Can we be honest? Okay? If your Christianity is not working in your home, it's not working. Is that true? It's not working, period. If it's not working in your home. So we have to be very, very careful. If it's not working in our home, let us not be those who go out there and try to export our Christianity out there something that doesn't work in our home, we try to put it out there, you know, because let me tell you, into the world, because let me tell you that the world already has enough strife and disharmony and disagreement and problems. Okay. They don't need more. They don't need more problems. Our Christianity should be working in our homes. And, you know, it's like I was thinking about it. It's like somebody that gets born again. And they're really miserable. You know, they go, they're like this. You know, it's like they've just eaten some lemons. Yeah, you know what, brother? You must be born again because then you can be as happy as me. You can be just like me. So you must be born again. They don't want to be like you. They don't want to be like you. Okay? So folks, really, we as men, we need to make sure that we do not dial out on these God-given responsibilities that we have in our homes. And you know what? When a child goes astray, then what happens? Then they want to blame. Okay? Then they want to blame the church. Oh, it's a church. You know, our child has gone, yet it's a church. And in actual fact, it's that youth leader or it's the children's church leader. Otherwise, they start to blame society. It's society. Otherwise, it's a school. It's definitely that school. That is why my child adds, and it's that teacher. And we start pointing fingers all over the place. When in actual fact, you know, maybe the blame needs to land in one place and one place only. Could be in the home. And if it's in the home, it could be the father. Where the father has not led his family the way that God says a family needs to be led. Now, what I need to say at this point too, because there are some families where there are no dads. Is that true? Many out there. So if that is a situation where you've got a mom and you've got a mom and children, the Word of God says that God will be the husband. Is that true? So we don't have to worry about that. But I needed to just say that. So, you know, most boys kind of think that the church and the things of God are for sissies. Okay? Why? Because they just see their moms involved. They just see their moms involved. They don't see their dad involved. And little Johnny is growing up and little Johnny is saying, while he's little, I want to be just like daddy. I just want to be like daddy. Go through life. I want to be like daddy. But daddy is not involved in the things of God. Daddy is not going to church. Daddy is not going to home groups. Daddy is not reading the Word of God. Little Johnny has not been exposed to the truth about God at home. And he wants to be like daddy. And it's really just mom that's going to church. 1 Peter 3:7, this is a very important verse for dads, for husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. We show honor as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you. So there it is again. They are heirs with you, heirs to the inheritance that we're all going to receive. Husband and wife, the same, is with you. Of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And basically what this scripture is saying, that if you have a husband that does not treat his wife well with respect and honor, his prayers as the head of the home will not be honored. They will not be answered. Another good reason why we need to make sure we are doing things God's way. So then, of course, in due course, now little Johnny's growing up in this home, and Johnny, you know, eventually, Johnny fails in life, okay? But we have to ask the question, is it Johnny that's failed? Is it really Johnny? Could it be, I'm just asking, could it be that we have messed up as dads? So guys, you know, dads here today, I think we need to ask ourselves a question quite often. That maybe what we need to do is rate ourselves as husbands. How are we as husbands? And how are we as fathers? And I need to say at this point that most of us dads have messed up. Okay, no one's taught us how to be a dad, or you know, we've kind of grown into it. But in many, many areas as fathers, most of us have messed up and messed up big time. But I want to say I've great news for us, because it's never, ever, ever too late to make godly changes. Never too late to make godly changes. We serve the God of second chances. We serve the God of second, third, and fourth chances. God that we serve. So it is never, ever, ever, ever too late. And God is a God that will turn those things around for the good of those who put their trust in Him and believe in Him and love Him. Is that true? That's the God that we serve. He will turn those things around. And we know that He's more than enough. So if we've messed up and then we start to push in and do things God's ways, you'll find that, you know, that He will actually turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And He will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers as well. Okay? But let's just make a decision, folks. Dads, moms, all of us. To see what the Word of God says, and let's just do it God's way. That's what we need to be doing. You know, really, as we kind of step out, He's going to step in. He will. He will step in. And where we have missed the mark, where we have missed the mark of being a good husband, and where we have missed the mark of maybe being a good wife, where a man has not led his family, okay, or maybe where the woman has rejected her husband's leadership of the family, as we see, you know, it should be as ordained by God. Maybe she's rejected that. The Lord can intervene and change the situation. And He will change the situation if we just call upon Him. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've actually spoken about family issues. But we're family. So we can talk about family issues. Amen. Praise the Lord.